Could it be that Lloyd A. Thompson is trading in his Knicks card and becoming a Brooklyn Nets fan after they beat the Philadelphia 76ers a game one in the NBA playoffs? Not doing that. I'll bleed blue and orange, baby, even though the Nets won a game. Let's get the damn show started.
Listen, when Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike grab mics, it's real sports, real talk, on the field or on the court. If it happened in New York, it's covered like a blanket, dog. Interviews are ill, simply up close and personal. That erupt, Lloyd's batting first, set the tone. Mike's either at the stadium or the garden on the phone. Here we go, Giants and Jets, Yankees and Mets, Knicks and Nets. This is only an intro, the show is next.
And yo, B! And please pardon my fresh as we bring you all new episode of the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Listeners, today is Monday, April 15th, 2019, and this show airs every Monday from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Pocket Cast, Google Play, CastBox, Spotify. Yes, we are all over the place, listeners, so be sure to hit that follow button so you won't miss a damn thing. You can also catch previous areas of the show in case you may have missed something that we've already done. You can also follow me and Mad Mike on social media, Lloyd A. Thompson, one word, Instagram, Lloyd A. Thompson, one word, Twitter, LLOYD. Be sure to hit that follow button. And if you got any questions that you'd like for me and Mad Mike to answer, you can always shoot them through email to lloyd@pardonmyfresh.com, or you can send them directly to the website. We have a great show for you today, listeners. We're going to talk some NHL playoffs as the New York Islanders are on the brink of sweeping the Pittsburgh Penguins. Yes. We're going to talk some NCAA championship basketball as the Virginia Cavaliers beat the Texas Tech Rail Raiders. We're going to talk a little bit about baseball, and we're going to do our very first mock draft as the NFL mock draft is coming up very soon. So as always, listeners, let's buckle up, sit back and relax. Oh, and I forgot, NBA playoffs as the Brooklyn Nets took a 1-0 game lead on the Philadelphia 66ers. And with that being said, let's start spreading the news. Hey, yo, let's get it.
How sweet it is. It's Monday. That means the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Show is back. Let's go.
As always, we got to find out where the Mad Mike is and where he's calling from. Yo, Mad Mike, where you at today, baby?
Lord, I should be sleeping where I'm at. I should be in my bed traveling from Philadelphia watching the Nets whoop the Sixers, and then traveling to Yankee Stadium to see those boys get their ass whooped. So,
listen, let me tell you,
you know,
man,
I've been making my rounds.
Brooklyn Nets, before we get to the, you know, to the NCAA championship game, which was played last week, Matt Mike, the Brooklyn Nets is the one team that I picked that any of the teams in the Eastern Conference don't want to face. They're that one scary team. And I literally think that they can beat the Philadelphia 76ers and make some noise moving forward.
I'm with you. I think the Nets, I think they match up really well. I think the Sixers are overrated. I don't think you can win when your point guard can't shoot the jump shot, when your center has, as you know, bad knees. I think Embiid's knees are not going to make it through this playoff. You know, and I think, Jim, you know how we feel about Jimmy Butler. I think he's the most overrated player in the NBA.
Keep him away from New York, at least Madison Square Garden. If he wants to go to Brooklyn, oh well, but please keep him out of the Garden. But Mad Mike, the NCAA championship is in the books, and the Virginia Cavaliers captured their first national title in an overtime thrill over the Texas Tech Rail Raiders. And 1 year after making history, Mad Mike is the first team, number one seed team for that matter, to fall to a number 16 seeded team. Virginia has broken through with his program first ever national championship. Congratulations to the coach. Congratulations to the young men that played on that team. Virginia They won 85-77 in overtime, which was an excellent game, Mad Mike, against Texas Tech. And I believe that will go down as one of the best title games in recent memory, eclipsing the doomsday type that rolled out in the light of these two slowed down elite defensive teams. Because remember, Mad Mike, we both spoke of both of these teams being excellent defending teams. Okay, when the game started, with both teams going on a combined 1 for 10 from the field, I was like, oh boy, here we go. And then when the game started to roll back and forth and the lead changing every couple of minutes, no one was complaining at that point, not even myself. And then this game went into overtime. And let me tell you something, Matt Mike. DeAndre Hunter was absolutely stellar on the biggest stage. He put up a career high 27 points on 8 of 16 shooting with 9 rebounds. And he was often going head-to-head with fellow NBA prospect, in my opinion, Jared Culver. Hunter hit 4 of his 5 three-pointers in a performance none bigger than his clutch go-ahead three-pointer with 2 minutes left in overtime, Mad Mike. So I thought Hunter wasn't on the court last year for Virginia's loss to UMBC because of an injury, and even got off to a slow start with just 5 points in the first half. But just like in the Auburn game, he flipped the switch after halftime and stood out as the most impressive player on the court, in my opinion, Matt. Mike, your thoughts so far?
Well, I mean, I think DeAndre Hunter's second half of both games really saved his draft stock. I personally believe that DeAndre Hunter played himself into a top 5 draft pick. And, you know, nothing against them. I mean, the first half of that game was exactly what we thought it was going to be. It was really boring. I believe the game was 31-29. Virginia, it was a game of spurts in the first half. Virginia was up by 10, and then Texas Tech stormed all the way back, went up by 3 or 4 points, and then they just kept, the momentum kept flipping, and it was simply because neither team was able to hold on, you know, consistently on offense. And Texas Tech actually came out and they were just knocking down 3 after 3 after 3 to open the game. So, it was an interesting game. The second half, like you said, really, really picked up the pace. It became really, really entertaining game. Both teams were, I don't know if you want to say they weren't playing as much defense anymore, but the offense has clicked. DeAndre Hunter at the end of the game, his block, to preserve overtime on Culver. He really, really, really clamped down on him. I believe Culver was what, like something like 5 for 20 from the field?
Yeah.
Which was extremely impressive. One thing that I did want to mention to you, Glenn Ciprian, assistant coach of Texas Tech, former G League coach, former Memphis Grizzlies scout. He's been in the NBA for a long time. You know, he's helped coach Jared Culver into a top, you know, what we thought was a top 5 pick going into the title game and probably more of like a top 10 pick now. You know, he was asked specifically about DeAndre Hunter, and he couldn't stop raving about him. He said that, you know, from a defensive standpoint, he said the only player probably right now more skilled in this draft than you know, DeAndre Hunter is who? Take one guess, Lloyd. He said only one player he thinks is more skilled at this point in time than DeAndre Hunter. Who do you think it is?
Are you going to say Ja Morant?
Yes, I am. At this moment in time, he thinks that might be the only player more skilled than DeAndre Hunter. But he said DeAndre Hunter it might be the most complete player in this draft. He compared him to Kawhi Leonard. He said, everybody is dying to give Kawhi Leonard these big bucks. He said, coming out of college, this kid defensively plays just as hard, if not harder than Kawhi at that time, back in San Diego State. I don't know if you remember. I remember Kawhi in San Diego State. People thought they were going to be a Final Four team. He said that his jump shot is years ahead of where Kawhi's was at that time. So if you're looking at him, he said, no doubt he thinks that this is a top 5 pick, and he would take him over guys like RJ Barrett and Cam Reddish.
What about Zion Williams?
He said the same thing. You're like everybody else. Look, you're not going to take anybody over Zion Williams.
Man, Mike, that Zion Williams, he doesn't have an NBA skill set. He's athletic. He can't shoot. And yes, that's something that could be developed. But you know, it's like a big name brand. You know, it's like looking at a big name brand and you fall in love with the big name brand, but then you got a name brand of lesser, you know, of lesser oomph that's just as good as the big name brand stuff.
Yeah, and you're right. And the other thing to consider about Glenn Cyprian, Lloyd, is you got to think about some of the players. Like I said, this is not a college coach. This is an NBA coach, NBA scout, coaching as an assistant in college. We're talking about he's helped the likes of Tony Allen and Patrick Beverley. He helped develop Chris Middleton, who people are saying is going to get $20 million on an open market in free agency this year. So when he tells you what he's looking at, I don't think he's blowing smoke. I mean, he's over here talking about DeAndre Hunter shutting down his player, Jarrett Culver. So when he tells you, hey, like you just said, this kid has the goods to play in the NBA, and he's probably the second most skilled player in this entire draft. Yeah.
Picking fourth or fifth won't be a bad thing for the Knicks.
I'm telling you right
now. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to pick him, because we all know how the Knicks roll sometimes. But I would say, they missed on Kevin Knox, and who knows, the verdict is not fully out on Kevin Knox, and we both think that Kevin Knox struggled, and we both think that that wasn't probably the right pick for the Knicks to make. Okay, but they did get it right with Mitchell Robinson, and they did get it right with Alonzo Trier. So far, I mean, you know, they're on the up and up. I will say that, but I also want to say, Matt Mike, that it really wasn't easy and probably was never meant to be easy for Virginia. And this is a program that has only 3 Final Four appearances in its history. And yet it's consistently baffled. You know, I mean, battled with Duke and North Carolina for ACC supremacy. And at different times, you know, across the decades of the league's history, they won 4 ACC regular season titles. And I think that the coach there shed all criticism and silenced any doubters by delivering, you know, to Charlottesville what no Virginia coach has ever done. And this national championship is the kind of thing that forever changes a college basketball program, man, Mike, and its coach. Because when you start winning national championships, you get top players that want to come to your program. And winning begets winning in this sport. And it took Virginia hitting the lowest of the lows in March before it could reach the highest peak, in my opinion. And I just want to, real quick, Matt Mike, I just want to give the listeners my all-tournament team. All right, this is something that I'm just throwing out there, and I'm not expecting you to give yours. I just want to give my all-tournament team, okay? And I have Ty Jerome from Virginia, Cal Guy from Virginia, Matt Mooney, Texas Tech, DeAndre Hunter, Virginia, Jarrett Culver, Texas Tech. And that's just from those teams, listeners. I'm not talking about overall. I'm just talking about from Texas Tech and Virginia. And I think Cal Guy was the most outstanding player, man, Mike. I do. But listen, like you said, that's high praise coming from an NBA person, somebody was in the NBA. And it wasn't even his player. He was on the opposing team. And he made those comments. That's big time. That's big time. So it's safe to say, Mad Mike, that there's going to be a good player available when the Knicks pick, whether it's 5, 4, 3, 2, or 1. Obviously, we want the number 1 pick. Unless Phoenix jumps ahead of us at 1, then I'll be okay with picking 2. That's the only way I'll be okay with picking 2 if Phoenix picks 1. Phoenix is the only team that I'll be okay with picking 1 because I have a feeling they're going to take Ja Morant. And Phoenix just lost a tiebreaker, not that it makes that much of a difference, I don't think, man, Mike, to Cleveland.
So you want Zion Williamson?
I would like to have Zion Williamson. Okay, but my thought process, as I said in previous shows, Matt Mike, I do think that if Phoenix picks one, Phoenix is going to take Ja Morant, which still leaves the Knicks to pick Zion Williamson. But if Zion Williamson is off the board, Mad Mike, okay, the next person up in line that I would like for the Knicks to take is Ja Morant. And if Ja Morant is off the board, Mad Mike, and I'm just going to go with this gut, and obviously you've done more homework on this than I have, and I trust your knowledge, I'm going to take this kid from Virginia. Why not? They need, excuse me, listeners, they need a small forward. Because let's face it, if the Knicks get Kyrie, if the Knicks get Kevin Durant can play the four.
You know what I like most about DeAndre Hunter? I know I knock Kevin Knox a lot, but it's not just him. It would be the same thing. I'm saying the same thing would be about Frank Ntilikina. DeAndre Hunter already has an NBA body, so once he comes in, you're not working on his stamina. You're not working on his defense. You're not working on his body. You know what I mean? You're not trying to build him into an NBA body. All you're doing is refining and continuing to grow his game. The problem the Knicks have had in the last two drafts is they're not just necessarily taking on projects from the simple sense that they have to develop Kevin Knox motor. They have to develop his game. They're taking on somebody who doesn't have any man strength, who doesn't have an NBA ready body, who can't go down and bang, who's easily bang, and these were all the knocks on him. Harder for him to finish at the rim, even at his height. Why? Because he doesn't have the strength yet. So Frank Ntilikina spent the offseason gaining 15 pounds of muscle. When you're so focused on building your body, how can you tell me you can't do both? I don't care. I challenge anybody to tell me you can do both. You can't do both. If you're focusing on adding 15 pounds of muscle, you're not focusing on your game. You're not. So to me, one thing with this guy, with Hunter, you don't have to worry. As soon as he comes in, you're like Noah Vonleh, right? Noah Vonleh, look at him. He looks like a freaking man. All they did all year was spend time building his body. I mean, building his game. Continue to help him grow. And that's what I think you're going to see. I think Hunter would be more impact right away than those guys have been.
Congratulations again to the Virginia Cavaliers. But now let's move on to some NBA basketball, man, Mike, as the playoffs have started. And let's give a little bit of kudos to the Brooklyn Nets, as D'Angelo Russell and the Nets had their way with the 76ers in a season opening win. And again, this is one team, as we said, that dark horse, man, and even the 76ers coach, Brett Brown, said this series against the Nets would be a fight. And it turns out that Brooklyn dropped them in the first round, and they never recovered. And the Nets, in my opinion, Mad Mike, they showed an impressive jaw, so to speak. Being that I'm talking about knocking somebody out. They shook off a jittery start. They shook off foul trouble. And they earned the win. In game one for their first round series before a sellout crowd at the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia. And the Nets took early punches from Joel Embiid, who finished with 22 points and 15 boards, and late shots from Jimmy Butler, who had a game-high 36 points. But yet, in the end, they rolled their guard. You know, listen, man, kudos to D'Angelo Russell, man. This dude has been balling out, man, Mike. Caris LeVert played well. Spencer Dinwiddie played well offensively. And you got to give Ed Davis and Jared Dudley some kudos on the job that they did on Joel Embiid. And they held the Sixers to 3-25 from deep. And when it was over, they opened up their first playoff series win since 2015. 2015, Matt Mike. And after, listen, Embiid has been doubtful in a game time decision with his sore knees you mentioned earlier.
I'll tell you, Lloyd, my sources tell me that knee is not going to make it, as I mentioned before. My sources have told me that his knee has not been healthy since the All-Star break. Remember he missed that week. And my sources say that was one of the main reasons for the Tobias Harris trade, was simply because they didn't know if he was going to be healthy, and they felt like they had to get that third star. If you see now, Tobias Harris has kind of been squeezed out of the offense. At one point yesterday in the second half, he was 2 for 5 from the field. Like, he's not even getting shots.
Yeah, which means he's probably not even going to stay there.
I never thought he was, anyway.
Look, Davis stepped up off the bench, Mad Mike. We had 12 points in a game high, 16 rebounds. And he and Dudley, they helped hold Embiid to 5 of 15 shooting and 0 for 5 from deep. He had 3 turnovers and a technical foul. And remember, Embiid made a comment about, oh, I'm getting under the other team's skin. He's turning into a pain in the ass for me. Sorry for cursing, listeners, because I don't normally do that.
Oh, I do. I don't mind that. I mean,
a pain.
But you know what it is? He's like Ben Simmons. Not to take away from the Nets at all. I think that you know, between Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, D'Angelo Russell, those three have owned the Sixers all year long. They've absolutely owned them all year long. But I think when we're looking at it, those guys don't know how to deal with adversity. Those guys are so used to things just going their way and being given to them. When you punch them in the mouth, I don't think they know what to do. Not only that, I don't think Ben Simmons has the skill set. I don't think he has the tools in the toolbox to overcome playoff basketball. You know what I mean? We're not talking about a guy that gives it his all defensively. So when he's got to defend a guy like D'Angelo Russell, even though Ben Simmons is as fast as a point guard and he's the size of a small forward, he should be able to D up anybody on the court. And to me, he doesn't have that motor. He doesn't have that care, that desire. So, you know, the same way he said the fans, those fans that are booing can stay on that side. Like, you're the fans booing you. You, since inception, fans have booed their teams when they put up duds the way these guys did on Saturday night, right? Why does that bother you?
Especially Philly fans. Philly fans are worse than New York. I didn't think any fan base could be worse than New York, and Philly has us beat. I hate to admit it, but they do. They'll boo you in a heartbeat.
And I don't think those guys have the temperament to handle it. I don't think they have the temperament to handle. Kenny Atkinson is going to coach this team, and he's telling this team right now, yeah, you're in the playoffs, but nobody believes you belong in the playoffs. You're only in the playoffs as a 6 seed because the East is so bad at the bottom. I mean, you only made the playoffs by a game, 2 games, right? So everyone's saying you're as good as out of the playoffs anyway. You're undeserving. You have nothing to play for. You have nothing to lose. That's how these guys are coming into it, and they're going to play like that. They believe that they can play with this team. And, you know, another team that I think you're going to see with major issues, I think Toronto's in trouble with Orlando. Orlando's another young team that just believes. And out last year was the first time we saw Kyle Lowry perform in the playoffs. And you know, I don't know what happened to DeMar DeRozan last year, but you saw on Saturday night, Kyle Lowry went back to being a pumpkin, and Toronto couldn't escape the lose a home game, home court. And then you saw the Spurs. DeMar DeRozan, unbelievable. Saturday night for the Spurs.
Well, that's another team. That's another team that, I mean, not that we can say that San Antonio is a dark horse team, but San Antonio is always San Antonio. But that's one of the lower seeded teams that you don't want to face. You know what I'm saying, man, Mike?
Yeah, no, but you know what I mean? So I know that we're supposed to be talking about Brooklyn. I just want to throw that out there because I just think that there's just certain guys that are just going to be unreliable. And I think Ben Simmons fits that Kyle Lowry mold. I think we trick ourselves into thinking some guys can handle it. He just doesn't have the tool set to me. I don't think he has a killer instinct. Personally, and I could be wrong about Ben Simmons. You know, I could be dead wrong, and I'm sure we have some listeners that are like, damn, yo, Matt Mike doesn't know anything about basketball. He's saying that. But you tell me what he does. What does he excel at that is going to push this team over the top?
Yeah.
No, tell me. I mean, if you think there's something there that I'm missing, let me know. But he can't step outside. If you take a bigger guard that gives him a little bit more trouble getting to the hoop, what's he got? He's not trying to get fouled because he can't shoot free throws.
I've been saying to you all the time, if I'm defending Ben Simmons, Mad Mike, anywhere from behind that free throw line, take your best shot.
Yeah. And then that's the other part of the problem, Lloyd. Like, in the playoffs, yeah, I'm going to give you two steps. I'm going to give you space to pull it. You're not going to pull it. I know it, and you know it. And then if you do happen to beat me and get to the hole, like I said, I'm going to foul you. Because you shoot 50% from the line as a point guard, which means you're going to miss. My chances are, if I put you at the line 12 times, you're going to miss six free throws.
And listen, and in that case, all the time, it is absolutely absurd to be an NBA player and have a free and be a terrible free throw shooter. Terrible.
So I think that like your Islanders, I said I thought your Islanders had the requisite to make this an easier series than people thought it was going to be, and up 3-0 or potentially up 2-0 right now. You know what I mean? I think that this is going to go the same way. I think the Nets and the Islanders, who share a building, I think they're going to shock the world both.
Look, if
both teams.
I also got to give props to Caris LeVert, man, Mike.
Yes, sir.
He nearly missed 3 months with a dislocated foot. And then when he came back, he struggled a little bit to find his form. But then he played great, man. He played great. And, you know, bottling up not just Jordan Beed, but Tobias Harris and J.J. Redick, you know, they combined for 9 points on 4-14 shooting. I mean, the Nets had to give something up, right? And that was Jimmy Butler, who had 23 first-half points, and he had a 3-point buzzer to cut the lead to 62-54 going into the locker room.
Yeah, but you see how he did it? And this is what I was saying. This is the problem I've always had with Jimmy. In order for Jimmy to get that kind of hot, Jimmy needs the ball. Everyone else becomes a bystander. Everyone else becomes an observer. Everybody else is basically the Jimmy show for him to be effective. And that also plays to when you tell me a guy like J.J. Redick had an off night. Well, that tells me a guy like J.J. You don't take into consideration that a guy like J.J. Redick is a rhythm guy. If you're going to come down the court and this guy's going to be the main focus for the entire second quarter, then all of a sudden everybody else is out of rhythm. Now you're asking J.J. Redick, who does nothing well but shoot the ball. I mean, he really doesn't do anything well on the court. He's not a great defender. He doesn't have great size, so he doesn't rebound well. He's out there to shoot. And if he's out of rhythm, then what?
No, you're right.
And it's already, I'm sorry, but I was just going to say, it's already a problem with Ben Simmons, not really everybody knowing that he's going to drive the ball. So you don't even have to double team him. And since you don't have to crash on him because everybody knows what's coming, it's easier to switch off on him. He doesn't necessarily open up the lanes or he doesn't collapse the defense the way, you know, he's not playing the Knicks every night. You know what I mean? So he's playing some of the better teams right now. Guys like J.J. Redick are going to struggle. It's going to be harder for them.
And let's just talk about D'Angelo Russell for a little second, man, Mike.
Special.
And he started off cold. He was 2-11 in the first half, but boy, did he heat up. And the Nets led by as much as 16 points midway through the fourth, and his dagger pull-up. Russell's dagger pull-up, boy. It made it 111-98. And with just over 2 minutes left, and the rest was history. History.
That
boy,
trade,
this
man.
This young man come to New York and balled out, man, Mike.
That trade. You know, Magic Johnson. God bless Magic Johnson's front office career. Because he's never going to live this one down. He's never, ever, ever going to live this one down, man. You trade D'Angelo Russell. You swap picks. You get basically what the Nets did is they turned Brooke Lopez into D'Angelo Russell and Jarrett Allen. Think about that for a second. So if you're the Lakers, I know we can't go back, but Jesus Christ, the Nets, man. You turn Brooke Lopez into D'Angelo Russell and Jarrett Allen. That's your foundation right now.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the other guy is on his way out the door.
And steal a game on the road, man, Mike. That's key.
Yes.
That's the key. Going in and stealing a game on a roll. If you can win one of those two games.
Is it really? Are they really on the road when you think about it? They had the Brooklyn chant going. You know, it's not like they went into Los Angeles and stole a game. But, I mean, the Brooklyn fans, shout out to them. The Brooklyn fans traveled to Philadelphia. They got on that New Jersey Turnpike, and they rode that Greyhound all the way down, yo. They made their force. You know, they were forced. They made their voices felt. And that's why I said, if you're someone like Ben Simmons and you're going to show that you were rattled by the crowd, good luck to you, brother. Good luck. Shout out to Brooklyn fans.
Shout out to Brooklyn. Brooklyn. And I hate that chant. I hate it. I really do, man. When I go to a Brooklyn Nets game, or when I'm watching a game and I hear that chant, it absolutely drives me nuts, man, Mike. And you want to know why it drives me nuts? Because you have the corniest of the corniest people that really don't know nothing about Brooklyn chanting something, and they just sound whack doing it.
Ask them if they know where that chant came from.
That's my whole point. And listeners may not know that, but that's the reason why it annoys me so much. That's why it annoys me so much. That's why. But nonetheless, we're going to stay on top of that. We're going to talk some more NBA players moving forward, listeners. But we still have a lot to talk about. After the commercial break, we still got to talk about the New York Islanders. We're going to do a little mock draft. I don't even know if you want to waste time on the Yankees and the Mets, Mad Mike.
If we're going to talk Yankees, I just want to talk about the fact that how does Jay Happ and Masahiro Tanaka and CeCe Sabathia combine for 13 innings pitched as starters against what's supposed to be one of the worst teams in all of baseball, in Chicago White Sox. Right, 13 innings started.
I guess we got to talk about them. We'll be right back.
No, we don't have to. I'm fine. I'm not talking about
him. All right, well, listeners, we'll be
right. I'll treat him like they treated their offseason.
All right, fair enough. Then we won't even talk. We won't even talk baseball on this show, listeners. We'll be right back with more of the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Welcome back to the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Before the commercial break, listeners, me and Mad Mike both agreed that the Yankees don't even need to be discussed at this particular moment, as they're playing putrid baseball. Putrid! And I'm not pushing the panic button just yet, but I will say, Mad Mike, that they are 5.5 games behind the first place Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
Yeah, and let's stop blaming Aaron Boone, because he handed the ball to that bullpen 2 times in Houston. With the lead. 2 times he handed the ball to the bullpen with the lead, and the bullpen blew it. So let's not get on him. And before you tell me, well, it was the pitchers that he brought in. Zach Britton, Adam Montevino, Chad Green, Jonathan Holder. He put out his best bullpen relievers, and they blew it. So I don't want to hear nothing. Well, don't save it for somebody that cares.
Like a strength for the Yankees, right? Their bullpen.
Huh. Yeah, but Lloyd, what did they do to strengthen the bullpen? And this is why I said I was going to treat them like they treated us. What did they do to strengthen the bullpen? They brought in Adam Ottavino, right? That's the only, when you think about it, yeah, they re-signed Britton, but he was on the roster from last year. So they brought in Adam Ottavino, right? But who left? David Robertson. So they didn't strengthen. That was a lateral move. And as a matter of fact, Ottavino cost $2 million less a year than Robertson. So you actually made the move to save money, not to get better. Anyway, you said the Islanders, was it? Well, New York Giants and Russell Wilson.
The Mets is playing some solid baseball, man. They're hanging in there.
Yes, they are.
For now. But before we move on to the other stuff, man, Mike, I just want to point out that our good friend Joe Barrera, right, sports columnist for the Sporting News,
sent
out a tweet talking about, well, who wants to trade Clint Frazier now?
Yes, sir.
The same Clint Frazier that dropped the ball in the outfield that caused the Yankees to lose a game?
I see, that's the thing, man. We can't just say the same Clint Frazier that dropped the ball. It's the same Clint Frazier who was running in and dove head first to make a catch, and the ball went off his glove.
Well, here's the thing.
That Clint Frazier, yeah.
Well, him. I mean, listen, and then he blamed it on everything but saying, well, you know what? I messed up. I should have made the play. Next time I will make the play. This game is over with. Time to move forward to the next one. Take accountability, young man. When you make a mistake, that's a catchable ball.
Yeah, but then if we're going to do that, then call out Brett Gardner for the same thing, for having to him twice the
well,
very next night.
He punted the damn ball and didn't even run.
What's yeah, in that game. But the next night, he dropped two fly balls in Houston the very next night, and he's the veteran. So, I mean,
I'm not even a fan of Brett Gardner. Brett Gardner shouldn't even be on this roster.
We said we weren't going to do this. We're doing it.
He shouldn't, but yeah. All right, listen. Let's move on to our 2019 mock draft, Mad Mike, all right? And the NFL draft is almost here, and you know what that means. Me and Mad Mike, we're going to start off with a mini mock draft, listeners, a mini one. Is the biggest off-season event of the year will take place Thursday, April 25th to Saturday, April 27th in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm excited. And are the rumors true, Mad Mike? And Arizona Cardinals to take Oklahoma's Kyler Murray over Ohio State's Nick Bosa or Alabama's Quinnen Williams? Is that going to happen? What's Arizona going to do? Are they going to do that? Are they going to trade the pick? Will the New York Giants fire Eli Manning's replacement at quarterback? Who will the Oakland Raiders select with their three first-round picks? How many quarterbacks are going to first round? Let's start with the worst team in 2018, the Arizona Cardinals, man, Mike. And I do believe, despite everything, despite Nick Bosa, who I thought at one point was a sure lock to go to Arizona, I have the Arizona Cardinals taking Kyler Murray, quarterback from Oklahoma. All right? If the rumors are true, the Cardinals would take the electric Heisman Trophy winner out of Oklahoma to replace Josh Rosen, man, Mike. Because it seems like Josh Rosen is going to be traded. Who do you have Arizona taking?
I have them taking Kyler Murray. I still think that Josh Rosen is the best quarterback in this draft class. I know that if you ask me from a talent standpoint, but the question marks around him are, does he really love football? Probably not. Does he think he's smarter than his own coaches? Probably so. And then when you take a new coach into consideration, someone that coached Pat Mahomes in college, so you kind of have a feeling for what kind of system he wants to run. I don't think you would confuse Josh Rosen with Pat Mahomes. I think Kyler Murray is the best that you have right now at assimilating that. So I think it's going to be Kyler Murray. But I'll be honest with you, I'd be wary about his size. I'd be wary about the fact that maybe in college you outrun guys, but he's not... He's not going to be that much faster than the defenders. And I say that pointing to the national, not the national title game, but the game against Alabama. You saw how fast those guys play, and you saw how they made him look average. So, that's just my take on it. He's going to be the guy. One other thing I will say is maybe he's a better athlete than Baker Mayfield, but don't think just because Baker did it and they came from Oklahoma together, he's going to do it. Baker Mayfield is by far, it's not even close. He's a better quarterback. He's a better football player. He's got a more of a drive to be great. So it's going to be Kyler Murray, but I don't think it's going to be as amazing as everyone thinks it's going
to
be.
All right, so that leads us into pick number two. That belongs to the San Francisco 49ers. And I have the San Francisco 49ers taking Nick Bosa, who at one point I had him going number one, but I have him going number two. And this is an ideal scenario, in my opinion, for San Francisco. The best player in the draft, as some may say, falls right into the Niners' lap at number two. And, oh, yeah, it also fills the 49ers' biggest hole, pass rusher. So I got Nick Bosa going to the San Francisco 49ers with the number 2 pick, Mad Mike.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Nick Bosa as well. I know that they've just spent so much draft picks, so much money on their defensive line over the last couple years. I know a lot of people think that John Lynch doesn't know what he's doing. And every chance he gets, he does tell you he has no idea what he's doing. But that's why I think he takes Nick Bosa. I think personally, with the trade for Ford, the trade for D Ford, I would probably go Quinnen Williams interior and match him with the outside, collapse both the outside and the inside on the, together. But I think he's going to go with Bosa simply because so much questions surrounding his job. Bosa's a guy. But I think Bosa's maxed out already, man, if you ask me. I don't think there's any upside. He is what he is. We're talking about a guy who's already been injured 2 times, lost 2 seasons to injury. He's already worked out. What you see is what you get. He's coming from a football family. There is no room for growth. It's the one reason that I think he's heading.
We talked about them damn designer jeans, man, Mike. People fall in love with them designer jeans.
Yeah, I mean, they do. But you know, at the end of the day, part of the draft is not necessarily drafting. You know, some teams draft for today, but you're also drafting for tomorrow. And I don't think Nick Bosa has anything to offer you for tomorrow.
No, but that's what I'm saying. You could get a lesser pair of jeans, a lesser name brand pair of jeans that look just as good as Ohioan jeans. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's right. How I feel, you know, with Bosa. And that's how I also feel with as we talked about before the break. You know, it's just my opinion. And now, moving on, Mad Mike, to pick number 3. And it's going to be curious to see what you would do in this situation. That's the New York Football Jets. I have the Jets taking Josh Allen from Kentucky. And I think the Jets are in a prime position to trade back, all right, for a team that needs a quarterback. But if the New York Jets stay at number 3, then I think that the Jets would gladly take the next best pass rusher, if not the better pass rusher, in my opinion, and Josh Allen, Matt Mike. What would you do with the number 3 pick for your team?
Can I pass? What I would do is draft Quinnen Williams so I could start maximizing what Leo does. But if I look at how they missed on the outside pass rusher, if I look at the fact that they haven't had an outside pass rusher since John Abraham 15 years ago, I'm going to go with Josh Allen as well. Josh Allen worries me, though, man. The whispers about his work ethic, the whispers about how much developing he actually does need for someone that's considered such a high-end talent, a top-5 pick, it scares the crap out of me. But I'll tell you this. I respect Greg Williams a hell of a lot more than I respect Todd Bowles. I think Greg Williams has a longer track record of developing players, much, much longer than Todd Bowles does. And I'll go with Josh Allen.
All right, so there you have it. Now that moves on to pick number 4. That belongs to the Oakland Raiders. And I have the Oakland Raiders taking Quinnen Williams, defensive lineman from Alabama. And the Raiders reportedly are enamored with Murray. All right, they miss out on the 2 top edge rushers and quarterback. But Williams is a dynamic interior pass rusher who apparently won't get past Oakland number 4. I got the Oakland Raiders taking Quinnen Williams, defensive lineman from Alabama, Matt Mike. And I'm going to be selfish and say that I hope Quinnen Williams falls to the New York Giants, but that's not going to happen. But I'm sorry, Matt Mike. Real quick to backtrack, I also want to say that I like the signing that the Jets made. I think, is it Jordan Montgomery from Green Bay? I don't know, his first name might be Jordan. His last name is Montgomery. Green Bay had him line up in the backfield. You know,
Ty Montgomery,
I'm sorry. I like that signing by the New York Jets. Great signing.
Yeah, let me tell you something. I've been begging for Mike Maccagnan to be more proactive, more creative. And Ty Montgomery, it's funny because I did text Joe Rivera because everybody knows he's a Jet fan. And I told him that the day before they signed him, when they announced they were going to bring him in, I said, if they can lock him up, that's going to be a sneaky good pick. The reason why, to me personally, is because he has the same exact skill set as Le'Veon Bell. He's not Le'Veon Bell. He's got the same exact skill set as Le'Veon Bell. He's not going to carry the ball 20, 25 times, but he can carry the ball 6 times out of the backfield. And then he played wide receiver in Stanford. And before we question his toughness, because, you know, people call him, question his toughness. People have questioned his smarts because of some plays that took place. He did play under John Harbaugh at Stanford. So he's very versatile, and it's exactly the kind of guy that flourishes in the Adam Gase system, because you don't know if he's going to carry the ball. You don't know if he's going to flank out as a receiver. He has that skill set, and hence why he wears number 88. I think it really is a great pick, and I hope they use him right.
All right, I'm sorry, listeners. I meant to say that thought before we went to pick number 4 with the Oakland Raiders, but I'm sorry I had to backtrack, but I just wanted to bring that up. All right, back to your pick, Matt Mike. I got the Oakland Raiders taking Quinnen Williams. Who you got them taking at number 4?
There's another one where I think that I think Quinnen Williams should be the pick there. Absolutely think he should be the pick there, but I think they're going to take Devin White, man. I think they're going to take Devin White.
No!
I do. I think they're going to take a line-to-line linebacker, a heart and soul of a defense that has been absolutely missing the heart and soul. I think that's exactly what they're going to do. But I'll be very honest with you. I personally don't... I mean, I can't see them passing over Quinnen Williams, but I just think that their love for Devin White is that big that they're going to go that route.
All right, so now moving on to pick number 5, who was owned by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking Montez Sweat, edge rusher for Mississippi State. And other than Murray, nobody has had a better pre-draft process than Sweat. And the Mississippi State pass rusher has skyrocketed up the draft boards because of a strong week in the Senior Bowl and an outworldly NFL scouting combine, Mad Mike. So I got the Tampa Bay Bucks taking Montez Sweat from Mississippi State with the number 5 pick in the draft.
Full disclosure, Montez Sweat is going to be a New York Jet. They're going to trade out of 3. They're going to end up landing him. If you believe the rumors, Jacksonville is in love with Quinnen Williams. They've already brought him in for a visit. And there's no way Quinnen Williams is dropping to 7 on anybody's board. So I think that's where the Jets are going to take Sweat at 7 once they complete the trade. But in this draft, I'm going to have Tampa Bay snagging Quinnen Williams because there's no way that man drops out of the top 5. He's not going to be Aaron Donald, but he's going to make everybody on that line that much better.
All right, so now moving on to pick number 6. Which is the New York Giants, my team. All you New York Giants fans, everybody's talking about Dwayne Haskins. Dwayne Haskins this, Dwayne Haskins that. I say a damn Dwayne Haskins, because the Giants have bigger needs than Dwayne Haskins, and it seems like they're sold on Eli Manning playing another year, God forbid, another year after that. And look, the Giants have missed picking quarterbacks in the 3rd round, 4th round. They haven't gotten that right yet, right, Matt Mike?
Correct.
So you let them have another year getting that wrong as well. The reason why I say that, Matt Mike, is I'm going to take Delvin White, linebacker from LSU, and I think the Giants need to add speed and playmaking on defense. And they do so by selecting this young man. He's a sideline linebacker. He will automatically come in and be the best coverage linebacker that the Giants have, because you've spoken in the past on how bad Alec Ogletree is at covering. And when's the last time the Giants had a linebacker, Matt Mike, that's had 100 damn tackles in a season? And I think they get that with Devin White. So I have the Giants taking Devin White, not Dwayne Haskins, at number 6. Sorry, New York Giants fans. Who you got them taking, Mad Mike?
I have them taking Montez Sweat, actually, at this pick. I think they didn't do anything themselves to replace Olivier Vernon. a year after trading away JPP, they still can't sack the quarterback, and it's only going to get worse. So I have them taking Montez Sweat right there.
All right. Sounds good. I wouldn't be mad at that pick neither, to be honest with you. So that moves us to the Jacksonville Jaguars, Matt Michael, picking number 7. And I got the Jacksonville Jaguars taking DK Metcalf, wide receiver from Ole Miss. And I do think the Jaguars need to upgrade their offense this offseason. And I think Jacksonville is going to add a receiver with a limited upside in DK Metcalf. So I have Jacksonville taking DK Metcalf with the number 7 pick, Matt Mike.
I honestly, dude, I think you have him way too high. I think that once the sign of not the Senior Bowl, but the combine wears off, I think people are going to realize and go back and look at his tape and see that he's really, he's too stiff. He's an injury waiting to happen. He's always been an injury waiting to happen, no matter even as good as he is talent-wise. I think they're going to see the route tree is a little limited. And I don't think that a team like Jacksonville is going to be able to groom him because they, like you said, they have a limited offense. I think he's going to flourish more with a team like Green Bay or Pittsburgh in the first round of this draft. But I got them taking Ed Oliver. You know, in order to fit in Nick Foles, they invested heavily or lack thereof. They cut a few of those defensive linemen. And they're still a team built on defense. And the whole reason you bring in Nick Foles is because he can control the offense a lot better. He's not going to play high scoring. So I think that they're still believing that they're going to win on the backs of the defense. And Ed Oliver is probably the best interior lineman not named Quinnen Williams in this draft.
All right. So now pick number 8 goes to the Detroit Lions. And after the Detroit Lions take it, Rashawn Gary, edge rusher from Michigan, and I think the Lions are going to take a chance on an incredibly athletic Michigan pass rusher who has yet been able to reach his immense potential. There's been reports that the Giants might reach out to him, but at this point, the Giants don't need anybody with potential, man, Mike. They need somebody who could come in and make some damn plays. So I got the Detroit Lions taking Rashawn Gary, edge rusher from Michigan.
I actually have the same thing. I have Rashawn Gary going to Detroit Lions. I think that they've invested heavily in Trey Flowers. And I think in order to get the most out of Trey Flowers and actually get the most out of Gary, because a lot of people don't think Gary has, people don't think that he lived up to expectations in Michigan. And they think that a lot of that was because he's got the Batman skill set. He's got the Batman hype. But he's more of a Robin type mentality. I think that they'll do themselves justice by packaging him with Trey Flowers. That's the pick.
All right, so number 9 goes to the Buffalo Bills. And here's where the first offensive lineman comes off the board on my draft board, Matt Mike. I have the Bills taking Jawan Taylor, offensive lineman from Florida, as protecting Josh Allen is a major priority for the Bills this offseason. And this is where it starts, Matt Mike. So I have the Buffalo Bills taking Jawan Taylor, offensive lineman from Florida, with the number 9 pick.
I do think that they're going to go offensive lineman. But I do think that I think that Jonah Williams rising up over the last week, I think that's real. People always pegged him as a top 10 pick. I don't understand why he was falling down draft boards to begin with. This guy can play tackle. He can play right or left tackle, and he can play both guards. And I think that when you have a lineman, that's what you're looking at in the top 10. He's polished. He comes from a Nick Saban offensive system. So you know that he knows what he's doing. He's not going to be overwhelmed by the pro systems. So, yeah, that's who I'm going with, Jonah Williams, and more because in today's game, the versatile lineman, you don't know where a guy is going to fit in anymore. You know, how many times are we seeing, well, look, Eric Flowers, right? Is Eric Flowers, is he a left tackle? Is he a right tackle? Is he a guard? What is he? Like, oh, he's a left tackle. They insisted he was a left tackle. And because of that, their insistence that he couldn't move anywhere else on the line is why he's probably not going to be anything in football the rest of his career. I think Jonah Williams gives them a lot more versatility if things don't work out.
All right, so that leaves us with pick number 10, which goes to the Denver Broncos, Matt Mike. And I have the Denver Broncos taking Drew Lock, quarterback out of Missouri. And despite trading for Joe Flacco, I still think that the Broncos are still on the hunt for a franchise quarterback. And there's reports that John Elway is infatuated with this young man out of Missouri. So I have the Denver Broncos taking Drew Lock, quarterback out of Missouri.
I mean, I can see that, dude. I can see it. A lot of people can see it. But I think that if you're John Elway and you keep making the same mistake, especially regarding your quarterbacks, I think at some point you got to learn from your mistakes. And I think that he's going to go the route of Dwayne Haskins. I think he's going to ignore the big arm quarterback. I think he's going to see that Dwayne Haskins falls short in a long game. And not because he doesn't have a big arm. I think it's more because he's just not accurate enough. He doesn't get his footwork. He needs to be cleaned up. I think he's going to see that. He's going to see a guy who is great in the intermediate game. And that's what Denver's receivers are at the moment. I think it's going to be Dwayne Haskins.
All right, so here you have it, listeners. There's our first 10 picks and our very first mini mock draft. But we're going to do a mock draft special. Okay, the week of the draft, and give all our picks in the first round to the listeners. We're going to dedicate an entire show to the mock draft, listeners. So that's going to be something exciting to listen to. But before we close the show out, Mad Mike, we have to talk some NHL hockey. And yes, we have to talk, Mad Mike, about my New York Islanders, who have taken a 3-0 lead all over the Pittsburgh Penguins, a team that most people didn't give them a chance to end up winning against outside of New York Islander fans, Mad Mike, and us. I'm a New York Islanders fan. You're a Rangers fan, but you also said you like the Islanders over the Penguins. Okay? And in last week's show, listeners, remember what I played at the beginning of the show? I played the Islanders chant when they score a goal. And they did not disappoint me. Even games that they were down, they came right back immediately, Mad Mike, and scored. And the Islanders, they don't play a particularly sexy brand of hockey. They forecheck, they backcheck, they block shots, and they take few risks. They're more focused on fundamentals than flash, in my opinion. And this style was designed to frustrate opponents regardless of their pedigree. One that has them on the cusp of just their second playoff series win in more than a quarter century. Listeners, listen to what I just said. Their second playoff series win in more than a quarter century. Now, I don't want to jinx it because Pittsburgh is that good. Where they could come back from a 3-0 deficit and win 4 games in a row. That would be the choke of all chokes, right, Mad Mike? Hopefully not
this year. Not this year. They've developed way too many bad habits this season, talking about Pittsburgh. Defensively, too many defensive breakdowns. Offensively, they haven't been as potent or explosive as they have been in the past. This to me, I'm telling you, man, I saw this coming. The Islanders reminded me so much of the Tortorella New York Rangers. And remember something, those Pittsburgh Steelers could not figure out those Tortorella Rangers. They didn't beat them until it was basically over and Alain Vigneault was the coach of the Rangers. They struggled with this style of hockey since I can remember, going back 6-7 years with Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, listen, Jordan Eberle and Brock Nelson scored 62 seconds apart in the first period to quickly erase a rare deficit. And listen, man, Robin Leonard, Jeep, wow.
I told you.
25 shots, Mad Mike, and the Islanders moved within one game. As I said, it's finishing off Sidney Crosby and the rest of the frustrated Pittsburgh Penguins. They won 4-1 yesterday, and it took 3-0 lead in the best-of-7 Eastern Conference quarterfinals.
Did I not tell you that? Did I not say that the other thing that people did not take, that people took for granted, is the kind of work Barry Trotz's coaching staff does with goalies? They turn guys into superstars. They turn guys into Henrik Lundqvist at a fraction of the cost.
Yeah, both Allens are goaltenders won an award. Both of them won an award, which is rare, listeners, that both a backup goalie and a starter goalie wins an award for being the best goaltenders in hockey. And it's a heady territory for a franchise that advanced past the first round just one time since 1993. And the Islanders certainly look like they belong on a big stage. They've outscored the Pittsburgh Penguins 11-5 through three games. And they've trailed for less than 4 minutes through 9-plus periods, Mad Mike, against a team, mind you, that has begun the playoffs looking to capture its third Stanley Cup in 4 years.
And you know what, Lloyd? By the way, let's not take for granted what it meant playing at the Rock, dude. Let's not take for granted. Those fans came out and made themselves heard because I believe, from what I heard, the next series will take place in the Barclays Center. So let's not. These guys came out like this might be the last time we ever see this team ever, period. And boy, did they hold their team down.
And listen, they don't have Pittsburgh's offensive firepower. And they made up for it with depth and resiliency, Mad Mike, thus far. Rather than get rattled after Garrett Wilson gave the Penguins just their lead, in yesterday's game, all right, he redirected a shot. It's amazing how these players redirect shots that's coming at these goalies. All right, but the Islanders responded immediately, Mad Mike. As Emily beat Matt Murray short side from just above the goal line with 28 seconds after Wilson scored to tie the game. And Nelson finished off a 2-on-1 break to put New York in front to stay just over a minute later. And Leonard withstood a series of pushes by the Penguins, and the Islanders counterpunched brilliantly, Matt Mike, in the third period behind goals from Leo Komarov and Lee to pull away. And playoffs, in my opinion, are all about momentum, Mad Mike. They're all about momentum. And when you could take a momentum away from a team just like that, it builds yours. That arena was silent, Mad Mike. Silent. And Matt Murray finished with 32 saves for the Penguins, but Pittsburgh again struggled to generate any source of sustained offense. And New York, which allowed the NHL low, Mad Mike, NHL low, 196 goals. On his way to a second place finish in the Metropolitan Division, has clamped down on Crosby and his line mates. Jake Gutenzel, the two combined for 75 goals. Listeners, come on now, hear me. Those two players combined for 75 goals and 101 assists during the regular season. They have yet to record a point in the damn playoffs. That's what I'm talking about, baby. Game 4 is tomorrow, and they have to look to avoid the sweep for the first time since the 2013 Eastern Conference Finals against the Boston Bruins. They have another home game. But if you talk about super home ice advantage for the New York Islanders, Mad Mike, they got to go back to the island. The Islanders go back to the Coliseum, what, three more times?
Yeah. Well, no, two more times in a series.
Right, two more times. So they go back home two more times. Game 5 and game 7. At this particular point, right, look, the Islanders control games in one and games two back home on the island.
Yeah, and their fourth line, by the way, Lloyd, got to give a shout-out to their fourth line. Their fourth line has also played.
Matt Martin and Kyle Cutterbuck, they're going up against Pittsburgh's best line.
Yeah.
And they took the franchise first 2-0 postseason lead since the 1983 Stanley Cup Finals, Mad Mike, when they completed their run of four straight championships by sweeping Wayne Gretzky and the Edmonton Oilers. And the Pittsburgh seem to have the mindset where they're not going to hit the panic button.
It's too late for that. I mean, down 0-2, you don't panic. There, it's time to panic. You know what I mean? It's time.
Look, I'll say, man, this the New York Islanders hockey team at this particular point, Mad Mike, in all the seasons, they're not afraid to work. They don't have a star, but sometimes having a star is not a good thing. They're playing collectively solid hockey. And if Barry Trotz doesn't win Coach of the Year award, it's a travesty. It's a travesty. And he was on record saying that this team is not afraid of competition. And it's showing, Mad Mike. They're playing on another level right now. This team believes. I see when they score goals. I see when they finish checks. They're playing physical hockey, Mad Mike. This is something that the Islanders haven't done all season. Yeah, you have your goons, listeners. If you don't know what a goon is somebody that's just put on the ice just to fight. I mean, plays like Matt Barzell are scrapping, Matt Mike. Franz Nielsen, players that normally don't get into shoving matches and physical confrontations. Great, listen, they're playing some great hockey right now. Great, great physical hockey. They're getting under Malkin's skin. Right now, they're pushing all the right buttons. Pushing all the right buttons. It'll be great for them to sweep Pittsburgh. I like to see that. Love to see it. But before we close the show out and before we go to your rant, Mad Mike, do we need to congratulate Tiger Woods for winning the Masters over the weekend?
Shout out. Listen, let me tell you something. I made a comment to a couple people that were like really pulling for him Friday, you know, before the day ended. And I just told him, I said, if he's in contention at the end of Saturday, and when I said in contention, I said, you know, a few shots back, maybe in that top five range, I thought he really had a shot. But when I found out that the Masters had changed the putting turf, the greens, and to consider that he was ranked 157th in putting in the world, you know, on the tour, I said, man, he has no shot. I don't believe he can do it. You can't win at the Masters if you can't putt. And I didn't think he could do it. And he shut me up. He did it. And, you know, I think we're all pulling for him because we all like a comeback story. I think the fact that people, you know, I don't care about other people. I'll go ahead and say it. I don't think that people would have been so down on him for the things he did if he wasn't black. I do. I really believe that. I think that, you know, that opened the door for a whole different crowd to start going at him. You know, the ignorant talk and the ungrateful talk and the he's conceited talk. And, you know, nice to see him knocked off, you know, his glass house crumble, shatter. I couldn't help but be ecstatic for him and say, you know, all these people, you know, 80% of the people that support him wouldn't be supporting him if, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, congratulations to Tiger Woods. I was actually at the damn bar watching soccer yesterday. Watching golf yesterday, listeners. And a lot of people were there. And when the Masters was over, and when Tiger won, people clapped. A lot of people clapped. And despite baseball being on, and despite NBA playoff basketball being on, when a golf thing was over, about half the bar got up and left.
Oh, he generates ratings. Like, that's why I don't understand why people wanted him to be so bad. I don't understand why the new, you know, so many shots at him and so many, you know, disrespectful folks. Because in the end of the day, Lloyd, I think me and you can both, I think we can all agree and accept it. Without Tiger Woods on tour, without Tiger Woods, you know, on anything, golfing is just not interesting, and they don't have the same amount of eyeballs watching. I think we can all agree on that.
Absolutely.
No question.
Listen, it's going to be interesting to see what he does in the next tournament. Let's see what happens. But listeners, right now, that brings us to the part of the show that we all knowing love, it's time to let Mad Mike do his thing and go on his rant for the week. Now, Mad Mike, what rant do you have for the listeners this week? Everybody wants to know, and everybody's excited to hear it. So fire away, Mad Mike. What's your rant of the week?
Floyd, I got to take aim at the New York Yankees and the fact that they've only won one series on a season. We're talking about a team that's played Baltimore twice. We're talking about a team that's played Detroit. We're talking about a team that has played the Chicago White Sox, and they have only won one series this year. I'm going after a guy like Brian Cashman, who beat us all in the head into thinking that this team was improved. You find me one position, I dare you, and I dare our listeners, I dare you, find me one position that this man improved. We were on this show, me and Lloyd, banging the drum for a guy like Paul Goldschmidt. And the Yankees said, nope, we got Luke Voit and Greg Bird. Well, Luke Voit ain't hitting 200. And for all the home runs and RBIs he got, how many times has he not come through with the big hit and left stranded the bases loaded? I can count three times this year that he stranded the bases loaded. How many home runs does Greg Bird have? One. How many RBIs does Greg Bird have? One. What is Greg Bird hitting? 150. Paul Goldschmidt, we don't need you. You want to go to the starting pitcher. Masahiro Tanaka, you giving up 5 runs and 4 innings to the Chicago White Sox. Jay Happ, I can't remember this last time Jay Happ pitched 6 innings. He hasn't pitched 6 innings since sometime last September, folks. I mean, CC Sabathia back on a 1-year deal. I mean, CC Sabathia didn't pitch. He's pitching 5 innings regularly. James Paxton? James Paxton? Anybody see? Does James Paxton think that we're still in Florida in spring training? You find me one position that he's improved. Infield? Did he improve the infield? What'd he do? I'm sorry. This team is not better. This team never was better. They pulled the wool over our eyes and they took our money, folks. They took our money and did nothing with it. Nothing at all. These guys all are bums. I don't care. And you're going to say, Mike, they're going to turn it around. But Mike, they're not healthy. But Mike, you know, it's only April. It's only early. No, man, get out of here. You find me one position. Lloyd, tell me, one position. One position, find me that he upgraded. One.
I did, yeah.
7-year deal to a guy with chronic back pains who can't even run on the treadmill, Aaron Hicks. Did you hear that this week? He can't even run on the treadmill. They can't even get him on an incline yet.
And he walked away, man, Mike, from two players that were in their prime.
I didn't even get there yet, Lloyd.
My bad. I'm interrupting your ramp. Go ahead, brother.
They told you that Manny Machado, 10 years wasn't worth it. They told you that the 10-year deal was dead. And what did we finish telling you on this show, listeners? We said that guys that are 25 and 26 years old, they don't hit the open market. And you do give them 10-year deals. You know why? Because they're free agents again at 35 years old. That's why you give them the money. You're over here playing hardball for 7 years. You know why you give them 10 years? Because there are other guys that were getting 12 and 13-year deals. Simple as that. Nolan Arenado, at 29 years old, got 8 years with an option for 9. So the Yankees, not only did they misread the market, their team is not as good as they want you to believe. I mean, you want me to, they won't even give Tyler Wade a shot, Lloyd. They're over here giving Gio Urshela, who's on his third MLB team, a chance over Tyler Wade. By the way, don't tell me it's because of defense, because that's exactly what they're telling us. But Tyler Wade was rated their highest rated defensive third baseman in their minor league system, ahead of guys like Miguel Andujar. So why are we not letting him play? You don't think that the fact that his time is so damn limited goes into what's affecting his offense? Did you hear Clint Frazier on the Michael Kay show earlier last week? He said that his offensive struggles over the last 2 years were due to the fact that they did not show any faith in him. He did not know that he was going to get an extended look. He always felt like every game, every time he played, was a one-game audition. You don't think Tyler Wade feels that same way? You don't think he feels that same way right now? That, like, they don't believe in me? You don't think that Greg Bird is feeling that same way? We have Luke Voit, who can't play defense. We have Luke Voit, who hits massive home runs, but he's not getting, he's hitting 190 as well. You don't think that Greg Bird is feeling that? Like, you know, competition is a good thing, but you know what else is a good thing? Showing your guys they believe in you. When a guy like Clint Frazier says that, you listen to him. And when you see all the other young guys struggling, you say, hey, If Clint Frazier felt that way, maybe these guys feel that same way. It's time for Brian Cashman to stop thinking he's the smartest man in the room and start building a team like Gene Michaels used to build.
And
I'm done.
Sad part, Matt Mike, thanks for the rant. The sad part is that there's no damn big free agents that's going to be available.
No, no, it's not. But that's how he wanted it. He did not want anybody to come in and say, Brian Cashman, Yankees loading up, spending money. You know, not for nothing, that's what they do. And people got to remember that. Even in the 90s. In the 90s, yeah, they had the core. They had the minor league system. They had the young guys. But don't forget about the Graham Lloyds, the Jeff Nelsons, the Mike Stantons, the David Cones, the Jimmy Keynes, the Dave Wells, the they always supplemented John their Wetland. Core minor league talent, John Wetland, with guys on the market. Brian Cashman, for some reason, Paul O'Neill was not a minor league, a farm guy. Paul O'Neill, they went out and got him.
Charlie Hayes.
So I'm just saying, Brian Cashman wants to do it all on his own. He doesn't want that out there. And you know what? He wasted a golden opportunity. He really did. He really, really did.
All right. So there you have it, listeners. That's going to bring us to a conclusion of this week's show. We want to thank you, the listeners, for sticking with us and keeping this thing going. We also want to thank our producer, Ayo Omar Baker, for rocking out with us. So listeners, please have a safe and blessed week. And me and the Mad Mike will see you in 7 days. So Ayo! Let's roll, baby. It's time to get up out of here.
And just like that, that brings our show to a close. All of you fine, fine ladies and gentlemen that have been listening, I thank you. If you subscribe, thank you. If not, please do so. And make sure you share it with your friends and your family, anybody that you know. But get into some sports talk. You got the best sports podcast, in my very humble opinion. The best sports podcast, the real sports and the real talk, right here with the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Show. As you already know, episodes drop every single Monday. Head over to LloydAThompson.com. Follow on Instagram and Twitter at Lloyd A. Thompson. That's with two L's. Make sure you throw the second L in. And we'll catch y'all in a week. Peace.